Luke chapter 6, verse 22. Luke chapter 6, verse 22. This is the reading of God's word. Blessed are you when men hate you and ostracize you and insult you and scorn your name as evil for the sake of the Son of Man. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word. As we hear your word, let us be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. And through your word, let us see what our Lord has done and what he has accomplished for us. And through your word, let us have that sweet fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Be with us, bless us, that your word will be preached correctly, and we'll all believe your word and obey your word. Let us live for your glory. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, blessed are you when men hate you. Because of Jesus Christ, whom we love, and because of our faith in him, this world will hate us. Which means we're going to suffer in this world. The Bible actually tells us this. It is very clear telling us that our life in Christ is a life of much suffering. Now, question arises in our hearts as we hear that. And that is, why suffering? Another way of asking the question is, what is the purpose of the suffering then? Well, we begin with Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? If we correctly understand that verse, it is saying that when we live our lives here on earth, there will be tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, and sword. This verse is not saying if you're a Christian and if you love God, that God will prevent these things happening in your life. No, he actually say that it will happen. These things will happen. But these things are not the proofs that we are separated from the love of Christ. So when you go through this kind of suffering, don't think to yourself or ask that question, does God love me still? No, even these things cannot separate you from the love of Christ. But there is this misunderstanding. As soon as they suffer, they think that God stopped loving them. Why this misunderstanding? Because they just simply do not understand the gospel in a biblical way. In the beginning, God created this whole universe without these things, without sufferings. But through Adam's sin, these things came into our world as God's curse, God's judgment upon sin. And these things all point to the eternal judgment of God. But our Lord Jesus Christ came and accomplished our eternal salvation. Thus, the curse of God is now turned into his blessings. We saw this in the book of Luke. The world has turned upside down for Christians. In Christ, these things, sufferings, are no longer the curse of God nor the judgment of God. Paul says it like this, Philippians chapter 1 verse 21, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Do you see it? Even death is gain. The world will never think that. But in Christ, even death is gain now. It's a good thing. Romans chapter 8 verse 28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Do we trust that everything that happens in Christian's life, God causes all those things to work together for good? Do you know, brothers and sisters, that everything that happens in your life, I don't care what it is, it's good for you. That's what that Bible says. That verse says. But even Christians, they just complain and they grumble because whatever that happens in their lives, they think is bad. But if God causes all things to work together for your good, how can anything that happens in your life, even sufferings, how can they be bad for you? See, you have to start thinking biblically. Yes, you learn the ways of this world ever since you were born, but it's about time we start thinking according to the Bible. There's no bad things that could happen in your life because God causes all things to work for good. And we need to trust this. We need to believe it. If we look at the context of Romans 8, in which we find that verse, the good that all things are working together for is to be like Jesus Christ. What's the purpose? Is to be like Christ. So even the sufferings happen so that through those sufferings that you will be more like Christ. Of course, ultimately, sufferings are not a good thing. Why? How can we know that? Well, there is no suffering in heaven. But just like the death is now gain in Jesus Christ, the sufferings are now also gain in Jesus Christ. But only in Jesus Christ. The suffering that comes to us, it has to come to us with grace of God. Otherwise, suffering cannot be good. If a non-Christian suffers, what's so good about that? But if a Christian suffers, God will pour out His grace. And with that grace, these sufferings is gained. And today, I brought many, many verses. And I try to just read you the verses and comment very little, because I want you to hear the Word of God telling you what is the purpose of the suffering, why we go through suffering. We begin with 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively, beyond our strength so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Suffering was so much that they thought they would die. But it tells us, Paul says, that that happens so that he will not depend on himself, but he would depend on God. So the purpose of suffering is to cause you to depend on God, not on yourself. We're so stubborn and so sinful that unless something big happens in our lives, brings sufferings to our lives, we will not seek God. That you will live as if you don't need God. But as soon as suffering comes, you start calling God's name. Paul says, suffering happens so that we would depend on God. The sinners, they trust themselves. They are truly arrogant people. They live as if they don't need God. They don't even pray. Through the sufferings, God causes us to realize that we do not live by our own strength and our own ability. That our own ability, it comes to nothing. Sufferings make us realize that. The difficult times that you go through. God causes us to depend on Christ. And God causes us to put our hope in Jesus Christ alone. So this is one of the purposes of the sufferings that we go through. John chapter 15 verse 19, if you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this the world hates you. We will suffer in this world because we do not belong to this world. That we are not of this world. Because if you are of this world, then the world will leave you alone because you are one of them. But the Bible says, because you are chosen out of this world, the world will hate you. So as you go through this suffering because the world hates you, realize, hey, I'm not of this world. I don't belong here. The life we live here on earth is very uncomfortable. It's not easy. It just not fit in this world. Our thoughts, our purposes, our attitudes, our meanings are so different from the world's. So even when you talk to someone from the world, it is just so uncomfortable. Because there's nothing in common. So to this world, our faith is a foolishness. So of course we are lonely in this world. It's just a matter of the fact we are lonely. Because the world will never understand us. And many times, especially these days, you just have to shut your mouth, right? Because just one word will cause so much problems. And if we try to live according to the word of God, then not only we are persecuted, there will also be materialistic losses. Certain things you will not do because of what God says. Even though by doing it, you will make big profit. But Bible is very clear that our life, the Christian life, is a life of sufferings. Philippians chapter 1 verse 29, For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake. It flat out says that God has saved you. God has poured out His grace upon you so that you may suffer for Him. So how can we deny this? James chapter 1 verse 2 to 4, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Did you hear what that said? The sufferings come so that we may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. See, when you think of being complete, lacking in nothing, you think in terms of material, the worldly things. But that's not how the Bible says it. You could be so rich in this world, and yet you'll be so poor in the sight of God, because you don't have anything that really matters. The Bible teaches us that suffering is the true wealth. Are you rich? Is your life filled with sufferings? Revelation chapter 3 verse 18, I advise you, Jesus says, to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich. Gold refined by fire to make gold pure. They put high temperature fire so that it will be refined. But what is the picture there? It's the suffering makes our life pure, but also Jesus says, buy from me the gold refined by fire. What he's in fact saying is, buy from me suffering so that you may be rich. Again, I tell you, I ask you, who out there who belong to the world will accept this? That as he goes through so much suffering, he thinks he's rich now. But this is how you must think, because this is what the Bible says. But no, many people who go to church, they refuse to accept God's word. They want to think like the world. And they judge just like the world. So when they see a Christian brother suffering, they have pity on that person. No! That person is rich. The sufferings make us truly rich and perfect and complete, truly lacking in nothing. That's what sufferings bring to you. Psalm 119 verse 67 and 71. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. Before I suffered, I disobeyed you. But now, because of suffering, I obey you. That's what the psalmist is saying. If suffering is given to you with his grace, that's what will make you do, that you will obey God after that suffering. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 through 9. In the days of his flesh, Jesus, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. Even though he was a son, he learned obedience from the sufferings. So that when he obeyed perfectly, he became perfect. So that he was ready to be offered up to God as a perfect sacrifice. And it is the same with us. We learn the obedience through our sufferings so that we may live that holy life that he's calling us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 through 8. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals you with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. So when you suffer, understand that God is treating you as the true sons. He's disciplining you like father would discipline a son. And if you don't have this kind of disciplining in your life, then you're an illegitimate son, not true son. See, I will not discipline anybody out there because I'm not his dad. But if my son is doing something wrong, I will discipline because he's my son. And we are all disciplined by God because we all sin. You know, some Christian, they brag about how their life is without any difficulties because God is blessing them. According to this passage, he needs to be very careful, right? He might not be a true son because there is no disciplining in his life. So when you suffer, God is treating you as true sons. Be glad. Verse 11, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful but sorrowful, yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. So, sufferings. God is treating you as his true sons, and when you have been trained by that, afterwards, you will yield peaceful fruit of righteousness. Sufferings will yield fruitful, peaceful fruit of righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 11, for we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. The sufferings comes to us so that the life of Jesus may be manifested through those sufferings, through us. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, let me read that to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm going to read verse 9 and 10. And he has said to me, God, Jesus is saying to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. The power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well pleased, well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Through those sufferings, when you are suffer, it is your opportunity to show to the world that Jesus within you is strong. When we are weak, He is strong. You show that through your life of sufferings. The sufferings, they cause us to prepare for heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5, this is a plain indication of God's righteous judgment so that you will be considered worthy of the kingdom of God for which indeed you are suffering. When you suffer for Christ, God is saying that you are being considered worthy of that kingdom. Acts chapter 14 verse 22, through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. Well then, the sufferings, through them we are able to imitate our Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53 verse 3 and 7, he was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and he did not esteem him. We did not esteem him. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted. Yet he did not open his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before the shearer. So he did not open his mouth. That was speaking of Jesus Christ. Now listen to Romans chapter 8, verse 36, speaking of how we are. Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long, we were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Description of Christ and description of us, using the same words. We are like sheep, ready to be slaughtered. That's how our life in this world is. We are actually, when we suffer, we're actually participating in His suffering. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 through 13, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. When you suffer, don't think that is strange. As if you should not be suffering because you're a Christian, but you are suffering, so you think something strange is happening. Don't think like that, Bible says. But, verse 13, to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of His glory, you may rejoice with exultation. Do you see, brothers and sisters in Christ, the life of sufferings? The sufferings cause us to trust in God, cause us to be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Cause us to obey God more and more. And they are the proof that God is treating us as the true sons of God. Through the sufferings, the life of Christ is manifested through us. To suffer means to participate in Jesus' suffering. It is the proof that we are considered worthy of the kingdom of God. The sufferings cause us to become more and more like Jesus Christ. Cause us to forsake this world and cause us to seek the kingdom of God. Cause us to seek Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters in Christ, if this is all true, then why would we refuse this life of suffering? Why do we consider it as something bad? So we see Paul seeking this life. He wants it. Philippians chapter 3 verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. He wants to know the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. Only true Christians would understand what Paul is saying here, because no person out there in the world will understand this. Why would you seek the sufferings? But that's what Paul is doing. Because through those sufferings, he wants to participate in the life of Christ. He wants to imitate Christ. He wants to be like Christ, even as He suffered. Because Jesus suffered. Paul seeks the knowledge of the fellowship of Jesus' suffering. And we must remember that God not only called us to participate in the sufferings of Christ, but God has also called us to do so with joy. 2 Corinthians 7:4, great is my confidence in you, great is my boasting on your behalf. I am filled with comfort, I am overflowing with joy in all our afflictions. James chapter 1 verse 2, remember that? Consider it pure joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Yes, the suffering is gain. It is very good for us. But don't worry. God says you will not be tested, you will not be tempted beyond what you could bear. And it's so obvious, you and I, we cannot bear much, so I don't think big suffering will come to our lives. So that's good, right? No, if suffering is what all these verses are saying, that is not good. But we just don't have confidence when God is asking us to suffer for Him. So let me end with this. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. It says that Jesus endured the cross. Oh, that's a great suffering. But it says, for the joy that is set before him, for that joy, he endured the cross. Now, he's dying on the cross. What do you think that joy is that is set before him as he dies on the cross? It's the joy of heaven. It's a joy of fellowshipping with his people whom he is saving in heaven. For that joy, he endured the cross. And if that's how he endured the cross, what do you think? How do we going to endure our crosses? Unless our focus is on the hope of heaven. The joy of heaven. There is no other way. If your focus is on this world, then you're going to complain every time you suffer. You're even going to rebel against God because you're suffering because of Him. But if your focus is on heaven, the joy of heaven, you will be able to endure. Because that's how Jesus endured his cross. There's no any other way. Romans chapter 8, verse 17 through 18. If children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. For consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which is to be revealed to us. He's comparing the sufferings now with the glory of heaven. And he says the glory of heaven compared to the suffering of now is beyond comparison. He knows the value of that glory. You know, this is a universal concept. Even non-Christians will understand this concept. If you ask non-Christian to suffer, and you say, if you suffer this, I will give you $5. And they will never do that. But if you say, if you suffer, I will give you $1 billion. There will be many, many people who are willing to do it because they know the value, the reward for their suffering. How valuable is heaven to you? So that you refuse to suffer in this world for Christ because you think that value of heaven is so cheap that it's not worth it. It's all about your understanding of the value of eternal life. And Jesus Christ. If you think it's not valuable, you will not suffer for him. But if you believe that eternal life is better than your life, all combined in this world, then you'll be gladly suffering for him. Is this your confession? For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, this world put all together is not worthy of you. Hebrews 11, verse 38a, men of whom the world was not worthy. This world is not worthy for you to stay. See, when you go to vacation, let's say you went to some cheap place, and you go there and it's so mess, and it's just you don't want to stay there because you feel it's not worthy to stay there, so you say, let's go home because it's not worthy. It's cheap. This world is like that to you, God says, that this place is so cheap that it's not worthy for you to stay here. That's why we're going home. We're going to heaven. But if you go to a beautiful place, you say, oh, let's stay here a long time because it's worthy. Which one is worthy for you, this world or heaven? You want to stay here a really long time? Enjoy this place? Because it's so you think is worthy. Why would anyone who knows the worthiness of heaven want to stay here one day longer than he has to? That's why we want to go home. And it's not for us to pity who died early. They need to pity us that we're staying here longer. Which is better? That's the question. Let us rejoice as we participate in the sufferings of Christ. Acts chapter 5, verse 41, so they went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for His name. As you come to the table today, Lord's table, come and see what He has done for you. You know, I've been teaching you the meaning of this table, these elements, for a while now. And as you already learned, there are many, many, many messages. But today, look at the sufferings that He went through. The broken body and the shed blood shows you the sufferings He went through. But because of His suffering, now we are able to come to the table of God and have fellowship with Him, eating and drinking with our God. Look at the reality of heaven that this table shows you. And as you focus on that reality of joyful heaven, let us endure the sufferings that we go through for our Lord Jesus Christ. Rejoice when you suffer. It's blessings to you. It's good things happening to you. You're participating in the life of Christ. And that life, suffering for Christ, is truly worthy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your grace. We thank You that You have turned this world upside down in Jesus Christ. The curse has become blessings. Death is gain to us. And let us realize what is truly happening in our lives so that we may all the time, every single minute of our lives, second of our lives, give You glory and thanksgiving. For You are our God who loves us and who are even now working in us to make us more like Your Son, Jesus Christ, who with joy endured the cross to bring glory to You. We thank You. We love You, God. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.